Welcome, everybody, to the NFL Recap Show. I'm your host, Abi Aziz. With me, of course, is my co-host, Joe the Brain Mats. Can I call you Joe the Brain Mats?
Sure, go for it.
Is there any, I probably could be more original than that, but Joe the Brain Mats will work. All right, Joe, let's talk about it. Thursday night, Tampa Bay went to Philly. Tampa Bay won 28-22. Wasn't a game I was watching other than that last two series because I had the Eagles to cover. what was your takeaway from this game?
I'm just a total lack of any Eagles offense in this game against a Tampa Bay defense that at least you could usually pass on them. I kind of don't really understand how the Eagles were semi in this game. They got time of possession was 40-20, plays 73 plays to 47. Brady was very happy to dink and dunk downfield all day, and the Eagles only had 213 yards of offense. They didn't have a single player break 50 yards from scrimmage, and they had six drives end in three plays or less. So I think the moral of this whole weekend for the NFC East is Dak could get hurt and lost for the season right now, and the Cowboys would still easily win this division.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on in this game either. It was 28-14 at the end of the third quarter, and then the Eagles got a two-point conversion with the touchdown, and that's how they got 22 points, but... like, I don't understand how they got 22 points, and I watched the game. Like, I'm confused. but my takeaway is that the Eagles just, I mean, you got to move on from Jalen Hurts, which, I mean, we all kind of knew that, but they didn't want to admit that because they're like, well, he's better than Carson Wentz. He ain't good enough. This Buccaneers defense gave up 10 yards a catch to Jacoby Brissett, and Jalen Hurts turned around the week after and only did 4.4. That ain't going to cut it, buddy. That ain't going to cut it. In a game that was near and dear to me, because I took the Jaguars' money line, the Jacksonville Jaguars got on the board. We were just talking about this last week in the show that we couldn't put out, but we were going to see who the Jaguars could beat because I'm convinced that nobody was going 0-17. Sure. And here we are.
Hard to do.
Yeah, here we are. It's like the Dolphins are like, oh no, we suck again. Tua didn't play too bad, 33 for 47, 329 yards, but they still lost. I mean, he only threw one interception too. I just think the Dolphins need to really consider some changes, whether it be GM, whether it be defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. Whether it be the head coach, I don't know, because he had definitely turned the franchise around at one point, but now they're kind of regressing back. So who's to blame for this Dolphins fiasco right now?
I think they're just collectively they're to blame for, I think, not understanding where their team was. It probably doesn't help that Brian Flores has had, I think, a different offensive coordinator every year. So there's not been a lot of continuity there. If you looked at the underlying metrics each of the last 2 years, this was a team that won two or three games more than where their actual talent lay. And then they decided, we'll trade this year and next year's first-round pick to get Jalen Waddle. Like, they clearly felt, we just need a game-maker to help Tua out, and we can be contenders. And the reality is they're not close at all. So you're very, very, very wrong. And again, the Eagles are going to have what looks like a surefire top 10 pick from Miami. This is kind of a disaster for them. Because like we said, Tua played, he had one really bad pick. But otherwise, he played well in this game. And they lost to a team that had not won since the first week of last season.
Urban Meyer said that this was like winning a national championship in the locker room. That was what I don't want to misquote him, But Meyer, Jags emotional locker room like title wins. Yes, that was the headline. Okay. So I'll
ask Trevor Lawrence if he feels the same.
Yeah, right? That's just really pathetic. But Trevor Lawrence didn't throw an interception, and I'm happy for him. I'm a big Lawrence fan. I'm a big believer. I just think, you know, obviously he's going to have growing pains. But again, just a good win for Jacksonville just in general. If they can only win in London, then it only makes sense that they send the team to London. in a game that was like, duh, Baltimore Ravens absolutely obliterated the Los Angeles Chargers 34-6. Again, if I could have got the gambling podcast out, people would have heard me say, fade the Chargers. This team just played one of the most physical, demanding games we've seen in a long time. The Browns beat them up. Likewise, they beat the Browns up. It's literally the worst case scenario for a team like Los Angeles, because then you have to travel all the way across the country. So we're talking thousands of miles, two different time zones, and then you go up against the Baltimore Ravens team that's just already, you know, full steam ahead. Despite their struggles, Baltimore has been winning games, and they haven't been that physically demanding. But yeah, 34-6. I think it's one of those things where we just have to say that this is just a bad game for the Chargers. I don't think it's any indication of what they can and can't do.
I do think it's a little bit of a bad matchup. I think that's going to be true against the Browns. It was true defensively for them, and it's the same, I think, with the Ravens, just because the Chargers are not a good run defense. But a lot of this was just kind of some hard, hard regression where going into the game, Chargers converting 49% of their third downs. They were 7 of 8 on fourth down through the first 5 weeks. This week, they went 4 of 16 on those two downs combined. And multiple times, Staley decided to go for it on their own side of the field. I don't think he was necessarily wrong to do either of them, but they set up Baltimore with short fields. And so that didn't help. But also this offense, yeah, it was just, they were off all around. Herbert was 2 of 7 for 8 yards when pressured in this game. You know, so far in his career, he's been fantastic under pressure. That was bound to even out at least a little bit at some point. And this game, that happened. I mean, Baltimore did a great job. I do think if you're going to go for it on fourth downs, though, maybe don't target Marlon Humphrey. You know, stay away from the best corner on the Baltimore Ravens when you do that. But, yeah, overall, yeah, this is kind of a fluke game. I wouldn't be, like, terribly worried if I'm a Chargers fan. I think the main takeaway maybe is that do you think the Ravens are the main challenger to the Bills right now in the AFC?
No, not really. Because I still think the Chiefs are better than the Ravens. They just haven't played, like, even with their defensive, like, issues. I think that when we get to the end of the year, it'll be clear that the Chiefs are the second best team, if not the best team in the AFC. It's the Bills, obviously, to lose at the top right now. But Baltimore, lack of passing attack still. Lamar only threw for 167 yards. He had one touchdown and two interceptions in a game that they won by 28. So we have seen this time and time again that when it comes playoff time, this team just doesn't get it done. So I'm not gonna fall back into this trap of what we've seen literally for three straight years. They do great during the regular season, and then come playoff time, it's like, where was this team that we've been seeing the last like 4 or 5 months? Yeah, they gotta show me more, and they gotta earn that respect from me come postseason. That's just me personally.
That's fair. I am a big Rashad Bateman believer though, and He had one bad drop that I think led to one of the interceptions in this game. But otherwise, you know, they got him involved early. I think he's going to make a difference down the stretch here. So I am buying on Baltimore. I think it's kind of a three-way race between them, the Chiefs, and the Bills right now. That's how I would feel. And yeah. I don't know that based on how this Monday night game is going, I'm not sure that I necessarily have Buffalo as a huge favorite over the other two either.
So the thing about the Monday night game, and we can get to that just briefly since we are technically live. The Bills have been historically overachieving all the way up until this game. Like, they've covered the spread by 15 or more in all their games that they've played, except for obviously the Steelers game. And so it's one of those things where, like, from a gambling perspective and in general, you run into these situations where teams just can't sustain such a high level of play. And then when they lose or when they drop down, people want to be like, oh, I told you they were frauds. You got to build a little consistency. So this is the game that, honestly, if they outright lose and they don't cover, you're going to be disappointed. But you need to see the next game and the next game. So, like, the next two games, see how they play before you can really get a fair assessment on if they're frauds or if they're really legit. Whereas with the Ravens and the Chiefs, I think we've got enough data there and competition wise to say, you know, that we can accurately assess where they are at this particular juncture in the season. Whereas Buffalo, you kind of have to give them a three game swing to see if they, because that's what we basically did to the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs had red flags in week two, but people waited until week five to be like, oh shit, this, they might be in trouble. So we kind of have to do the same thing there. Vikings went into Carolina and get my win in overtime. I was a little upset that they went into overtime, but either way, Vikings 34, Panthers 28. The Panthers are 3-3 after starting 3-0. Just haven't been right since going to Dallas. I think a lot of people can say that. The Vikings are 3-3. The Vikings won two games in a row? Did they win two games in a row? Did they win last week?
I believe they have.
That's incredible. They have not won two games in a row.
Because didn't they barely beat the Lions last week? Wasn't
that They won two games in a row. Look at you, Vikings. Two games in a row.
They never make it easy, though.
They never do. They never do. In a game that, if you look at this game statistically, again, dominated by one team. So what are we doing? What is going on? My man Dalvin Cook had 29 carries for 140 yards and a touchdown. Kirk Cousins was 33 for 48, 373 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. And they needed overtime to beat Sam Darnold, who was 17 for 41 and 207 yards. And their leading rusher was Chuba Hubbard. 16 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown. Where the hell did they get their points from?
They did have a blocked punt, I believe, for a touchdown.
Okay.
Yeah. So that actually gave the Panthers a 17-12 lead at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then, obviously they had the 96-yard drive to tie the game, the Panthers did, with 42 seconds left. Which, I mean, they got outgained by over 250 yards. They lost the turnover battle 3-1. 2 of 12 on third downs, the Panthers. Darnold was back to being extremely inaccurate. And when he was on the money, DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson had three drops apiece. Like, the Panthers played outside of a blocked punt, obviously, you know, credit to the special teams there. Otherwise, this was a total domination. And Carolina almost came away with the win, which, it just seems like Minnesota is, they're just going to play a weird game every single week. It's going to be close, and it's going to come down to the wire until Mike Zimmer has a heart attack.
Sam Darnold has been New York Jets Sam Darnold the last 3 weeks.
He has.
I'm a little concerned. But the Panthers are still in a position to be in contention for that last wild card spot, worst case scenario. But they, again, we talked about this last week, even though we couldn't get the podcast out. I'll say it again. They've got to get Robbie Anderson going. He's had three catches for 11 yards. He was targeted 11 times and only had three catches.
Three drops.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game, so I'm not sure who's to blame, but it just has to be better. Especially with McCaffrey out, not knowing when he's going to return. You got a rookie running back. You need DJ Moore. You need Robbie Anderson to really get you some points.
The good news is they've got the Giants and the Falcons the next 2 weeks. So this is a get-right moment for Carolina. If they're going to, they will.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, everything you need to know about the Vikings offense is it's the same. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, just doing what they do. Yep. So hopefully they can keep it going. Packers went into Chicago and won by 10. Packers 24, Chicago 14. Justin Fields, so-so game.
Yeah.
I mean, not awful, but not great either.
The four sacks where he lost 37 yards on the four sacks. That's the one part of this game where you look at it and you go, that you just can't be doing that.
Yeah. Khalil Herbert, 19 carries, yeah. 97 yards. He's been doing really good. Really good.
But he looks like a sixth round steal, Khalil Herbert out of Virginia Tech. Go yeah. Hokies.
No, I can't go that far. But I did like Herbert when he was at Virginia Tech. Aaron Rodgers, always in the drama when it comes to his division opponents. Obviously has no friends in Chicago, which is fine. If he did leave the Packers, he's obviously going to the Vikings because that's what they do. 195 yards, 17 for 23, an efficient game for him. Not a super crazy game, but this Bears defense is solid. The story here is just we got two quarters where we don't get any points from the Bears. The second and third quarter, you just can't do that against a guy like Aaron Rodgers or just in general against a team with an elite quarterback. You got to score.
No, yeah, they seem like they just went into hibernation for those two quarters. And, I mean, you know, Davante Adams remains uncoverable. Even, I mean, Jalen Johnson's a good corner, and he could not stop him. Aaron Jones, another good game from him. I mean, you know, the Bears defense didn't play – that badly in this game. If you hold Green Bay to 24, you feel all right, but this offense, yeah, they just didn't do anything for half of the game.
Offenses that were balling: Bengals 34, yes. Lions 11. Lions are 0-6, you know. And I was just thinking in that speech about the Jags that we didn't have, in my head I was like, we don't have any teams that haven't won.
That's what I have
to do. Wrong. We have the fighting Dan Campbells who are still chomping at people's ankles trying to get a win. It just ain't working, Dan. And it ain't going to get any easier next week when you go into Los Angeles. God bless you. But the Bengals, man, you know, this is a – regardless of what people might think of the Lions, they were competitive in their last couple home games. And they Bengals
– against a good team.
Yeah, the Bengals just came in and just kicked them in the stomach and was like, yo, back up. Mixon, 18 carries, 94 yards. He seems to be back and healthier. Ja'Marr Chase doing what he's been doing. No touchdowns, but four catches, 97 yards. Honestly, it was just a chill game for their offense. You know, people might say chill. They had 34 points. But, I mean, Burrow didn't throw for 300 yards, and they don't have a 100-yard receiver. And Tyler Boyd, who's a big part of their offense, only had one catch for 7 yards. So
yeah, he and Higgins did not actually do that much. You know, Chase had his automatic huge play of the game. He had a 53-yard reception. But, you know, yeah, you look at the offensive numbers, and it's just kind of solid all around, but nothing that blows you away. I think my big takeaway here is just – this is what you want to see out of this Bengals team, because you need to win the games you're supposed to. And they almost didn't against the Jags a couple weeks back on a Thursday night game. And so that was the worry for me coming into this one, is like, all right, are they going to make this a game? Are they going to potentially blow it? So they came in, handled their business. It's 20-0 going into the fourth quarter. The game was over. There was no suspense to this one. And also, Dan Campbell called Jared Goff out after this game. And I mean, he should probably call out the whole team more specifically, but I will say Jared Goff, 1 of 7 on throws 10 or more yards down the field. That's not going to work.
That sounds like the Goff I know. I mean, maybe he thought he was getting the upgraded Goff. Like, bro, if Goff without McVay wouldn't still be in the league, man. I'm convinced. It's just not possible. Sean McVay made this man... Sean McVay took this man to the Super Bowl. That's in and of itself a crazy feat. You just can't go anywhere when your best receiver is your tight end unless you have a defense. And the Lions don't have that. So, again, not sure when they'll win, but we'll put them on watch. They're not winning next week, though. Texans 3, Colts 31. Look at my boy Carson Wentz out here, 11 for 20. That's pretty good for him. 223 yards. Jonathan Taylor's just been being a monster. If it wasn't for Derrick Henry, I'm pretty sure more people would be talking about him, especially in that division. But there's just, you know, Davis Mills went back to his old self, 2 interceptions. It's just a bad team out there in Houston. But God bless them. They come out every week and keep trying.
They almost got the Patriots. So.
Yeah, they almost ruined my Survivor. You're right. But they didn't, thankfully. I think 1-5. I don't know when the ETA is on Tyrod Taylor, but they need him back. Something terrible. Absolutely. Also, fun thing. The Colts have now solidified themselves as the second best team in that division with 2 wins. Because remember last week I said the Texans were actually number 2 in that division? Yeah. And they were at that time, but nope, not anymore.
Tough break for the Colts with the Tennessee just wrapping up the win over Buffalo.
That's crazy.
You're thinking that you're closing the gap here this week, but it did not happen.
Yeah. Big win for Tennessee.
Absolutely.
Rams, fresh off the bye week, get a scrimmage week. They played the Giants, beat them 38-11. Honestly, man, after the second quarter, there probably wasn't really much of a need to play anymore. Rams scored 28 in the second quarter. That is the most points I've seen in one quarter in a long time in the NFL. But I also haven't checked everybody's game lines. I feel like maybe the Chiefs the last 2 years or so.
I'm sure it's happened, but it's definitely rare.
Yeah. And I want to say it was in that game, that playoff game against the Texans, they did it.
I'm pretty sure they definitely did it in that second quarter.
I'll have to double check. But either way, man, that is brutal. Danny Pennies was back out there. He ain't Danny Dimes now. 29 for 51, 242 yards, 3 interceptions. That's rough. Matthew Stafford.
Taylor Rapp was one of his favorite receivers in this game. So,
yeah. That's awful, man. Y'all got Dante Pettis? I didn't even know that.
That's how desperate we are at this
point. I like Dante Pettis, man. He just can't get going for us.
Let me throw you some stats about so Kadarius Toney, that first drive, he's 3 receptions, 36 yards. We gain 73 yards, get into the inside the 10, have to kick a field goal. He's out the rest of the game. So 73 yards in the first drive with him. Next 6 Giants drives, 74 yards total, 0 points, 4 turnovers. Like this game, the game was over before it started, if we're being honest, but it could, any idea of the Giants competing in this game ended with Kadarius Toney going out, which that's where we're at now, where our rookie wide receiver gets hurt, and that means we have 0 chance to keep up with anyone good.
You're down your 2 best receivers, you're down your running back, and Daniel Jones.
Multiple linemen on a line that was already bad.
Yeah. And Daniel Jones is looking rough.
I honestly, at halftime of the last 2 games, I kind of want Joe Judge to pull a Coach Taylor when start of season 4 Friday Night Lights when he's at East Dillon. And for halftime of his first game, he just comes out, tells the refs, like, yeah, we got to call it. My team can't. We're not going to make it through the second half. That's how it feels right now as a Giants fan. It's just like, just call it. Let's preserve what few healthy players we have left for some winnable games down the road here, because this is not it.
Giants are 1-5. Rams are 5-1. Not sure who the Giants play next week, but I don't think it really matters. Rams are in
the Panthers. So. Okay.
Rams are in a good position to be 6-1 after the end of next week. Chiefs 31. John Doe's 13. Aside from the game, the real story is just that pathetic display of, I guess, recognition that they gave Sean Taylor and what is probably the worst PR I've seen in the, or the worst PR stunt I've seen in the NFL in a long time. But you would expect that from a franchise like Dan Washington. Snyder.
Yes,
yeah, and Dan absolutely. Snyder, yeah. Only he could fuck up something like that. Patty Mahomes, 397 yards on 47 attempts, 32 completions. But what we are looking at and highlighting here is he had two interceptions. He's still not as efficient as we've been accustomed to seeing. They still don't have much of a running game. But Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, Hardman, all these guys can still, you know, run with the best of them. The Washington John Doe's top receiver is their running back out of their third down back, J.D. McKissic.
Yeah.
You can't.
McLaurin's hamstring was acting up towards the end of this week, so that didn't help. Antonio Gibson is apparently playing through a stress fracture in his shin, which is why he only played 39% of the snaps and might go on IR this week. So it's getting rough in Washington.
All right. If you say so. I was told they were going to be division winners this year. I don't think they can win any division. Cardinals, no, 37.
They couldn't even win the AFC South.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I want to throw out that we'll have to keep an eye on this when Kansas City plays a functioning offense. But last week, Dan Sorensen, safety for Kansas City, was credited with 130 yards allowed in coverage by PFF. This week, he got benched, and the entire secondary gave up 72 total yards. So I don't know if that's going to be a significant upgrade, again, when they face, you know, the Raiders or the Chargers or anyone else with a decent quarterback, but it seemed to make a difference this week. So that's a potential thing for Kansas City to feel good about going forward.
Fire Spagnuolo. I'm still saying that. It's something's got to change, man. It can't just be on one guy.
Not one guy, but one weak link in your secondary can really wreck things for you.
Yeah, no, so. You're right. Cardinals, 6-0 Cardinals, still undefeated, rolling. Actually, this game could have been a whole lot worse because the Cardinals end up kicking like 3-4 field goals in a row in the second quarter. But they won 37-14. We had a guy in the group said the refs were cheating. Never heard somebody use that excuse when they've lost by 23. But Kyler Murray was awesome game for him. And then AJ Green, Christian Kirk, and Hopkins just seem to finally have that chemistry where they just kind of spread the wealth around. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I'll give him props. 4 catches, 401 yards. That 57-yard pass was a Hail Mary, which helps a lot, but obviously it's a big deal for him.
That seems to be the Cardinals' one weakness is an end of half plays. They've now given up the 57-yard Hail Mary and the 109-yard missed field goal return. Otherwise, they're like the best team in the league, but for whatever reason, end of half plays, they just give up huge ones.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. The big story here isn't necessarily the game. It's the health of the Browns going forward. Baker Mayfield is banged up. But Kareem Hunt's banged up. They already had Chubbs out. And then, obviously, Odell had some time off the field yesterday, too.
And both starting tackles out before the game.
Both tackles are out before the game. They've got banged up defensive players. It's just not looking good. I think they lost their linebacker today, too. Just a tough stretch for them. And being 3-3 in a division where the Ravens are 5-1 and pretty much getting out the gate so quickly.
Right. They're behind the Bengals now.
Yeah. It puts you in a bind. Damn, I got to root for the Bengals, I think, to win the division just so the Ravens don't win it. Good luck to me on that one. Raiders, not really a surprise if I had got the damn show out, but I had the Raiders winning. I had them covering as well. I was not totally shocked. We've seen plenty of examples of this. I was talking to Keith about this on the podcast, where that first game after coaches fired or resigned or something takes place mid-season, teams usually respond positively for some reason, and it's got some pretty strong data on it too. So I took the Raiders to win here, and I, obviously they didn't disappoint.
No, I mean, it probably doesn't help if the reason your coach got fired is he said racist things, which obviously most of the players are black, and then the Raiders also have the only openly gay player on their team in the NFL. So I imagine plenty of motivation all around for them to prove that they didn't need Gruden. And yeah, their highest scoring game of the year so far without the play calling head coach, which actually, you know, even the Cardinals had a first time play caller this week because their coach was out with COVID. So good week all around for teams without their head coaches.
Yeah. You know what? Coaches don't matter since running backs don't matter. Obviously, we got these one game sample sizes. That's it. Pack it up. Teddy Bridgewater, man, not the usual steady Teddy that we're used to. Three touchdowns, three interceptions. Would hope that he would get back to what makes him steady Teddy. Noah Fant, one of the more underrated tight ends, but it's usually because he can't stay healthy. Nine catches, 97 yards. Courtland Sutton had a good game, eight catches, 94 yards. And Tim Patrick, who Sebastian doesn't like, three catches, 42 yards. All three had touchdowns, so that's awesome for them.
And the Broncos also a team that's been pretty beaten up by injuries all around. Yeah. And so, I mean, they're down, you know, Jerry Jeudy's out for the year. I know some defensive players are out, too. I mean, that's going to be the problem for Denver is, you know, if their defense isn't healthy and they're not holding people down, like, this is just not a team that's going to win if they're giving up anything close to 30 points. So,
yeah, they can't win these types of games.
No.
And honestly, with the way the Raiders are offensively, they kind of play at this pace and you're just kind of stuck with having to try to keep up. Also, you know, I don't usually give out a shout out on defense because people don't honestly care about defense, man. They say they do, but they don't. But shout out to Max Crosby, who's continuing to play well. Had three sacks yesterday, three of the five sacks. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say that was probably one of the better performances in the league, except for our guy coming up in the Steelers game.
Yeah. I mean, well, it obviously, it helps when you face the backup QB on a team with no line, but.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We'll take it how we can get it in Pittsburgh. Cowboys, Patriots, in what some Cowboy fans online have been saying was the game of the year. It was not. Was a good game, though. Cowboys won 35-29 in overtime. I wasn't able to watch the game. I was only getting alerts. I don't know what the hell was going on. I saw my man Diggs got a pick six. I was super excited. And before I could get out all the trash talk, the Patriots were back up.
Yeah, they did a nice double move on Diggs. And then, I mean, he got beat, but I don't know. I'm not sure who the safety was back there. But the safety just absolutely whiffed on the play and touchdown. Diggs even did, like, while chasing after the Patriots guy, kind of gave a look back at the safety, like, I don't know what the hell you were doing on that one. But, the Cowboys, it's pretty clear from a talent perspective, this team, there's only a handful of teams in the league that are on the same level as the Dallas Cowboys. And the question every week is just kind of, will they beat themselves? You know, they had a ton of penalties in this game. I'm trying to find the 12 penalties for 115 yards, which is obviously just an absurd number. And then just some classic Mike McCarthy, you know, right before the pick six, he's got fourth and two at the New England 33.
I thought it was fourth and one.
ESPN saying fourth and two live. I remember it fourth and one. So well, fourth and a long one or short two, however you want to say it. So you've got, you know, the best offensive line in football. You got a top 10, maybe top five quarterback. And instead, and you've got a chance if you convert it to run the clock out. Instead, he opts for the 51-yard field goal. Zero line misses it. And then luckily for him, Diggs bails him out two plays later. But it's just, you know, it's just kind of the classic Mike McCarthy, I'm going to make my team overcome my decision making. So, I mean, Dallas should be, you know, excited. They're 5-1. This team, like I said, the talent is as good as anyone's. But you just got to be worried that that's going to bite you in the ass when you're playing someone a little bit better than the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the weakness of this team is McCarthy. In those situations, I think if I didn't say it here, I've said it on the record, off the record, on some of my other shows, that the true weakness in Dallas is if you can force Mike McCarthy to have to coach or game manage. He's awful. He is awful. I was like blown in the chat talking about that decision. Like, the probability of you making a 51-yard field goal right there is lower than the probability of you getting one fucking
right.
yard.
Right, and it's outdoors. New England is not the easiest place to kick.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you have that offense, be aggressive in that.
It doesn't make any sense. You could just do a play action, dump it to Schultz, get Amari Cooper isolated, CD Lamb, give it to Zeke, throw it to Zeke.
There's so many options.
Tony Pollard. So like, many. You literally have seven other options that are better than kicking that field goal. And even if you make the field goal there, there's
2.5 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't do
and Mac Jones, that was maybe the best game he's actually played, I think. He actually had to make some real throws. It wasn't all like dink and dunks. He made some real throws in this game.
Yeah, Patriots had a rushing attack this game too, which is
we should helps know. A lot.
18 carries, 101 yards, big deal for them. One of the things is great too is that they seem to negate the best things about each other's defenses, and I think that's why we had such a high-scoring game.
That's true.
And it actually was significantly higher in the second half than it was in the
last 5 minutes was just insane. So.
Yeah. The Sunday night game, the worst game of the year.
This is a game for like the last 9 years. You've been like, oh, Seahawks, Steelers, Sunday night. Like, this is one of the games of the year. And now it was just depressing.
Yeah, what's depressing is that Geno Smith almost outplayed Ben Roethlisberger. Like, I didn't even know Geno was in the league until he came in like 2 weeks ago. And he's almost outperforming Big Ben. Alex Collins was killing them.
He was.
Mostly in the second, but he was killing them. 20 carries, 101 yards. Najee Harris is still doing okay with the workload that he's getting. His average is just really low. 24 carries, 81 yards.
And he's not getting a lot of help there. It's not like this offensive line is pulverizing people out of his way. A lot of that yardage is just after contact.
Game should have been won by the Seahawks. The best safety in the nation dropped the interception. It was literally thrown right to him. Big club hands. But yeah, that guy is a clown for that. It's not the best safety in the nation.
Not close. Not even close.
The best safety in the NFC.
No. I mean, he's not one of the 10 best safeties in the league. Maybe in the NFC.
My guy, TJ Watt, looking like JJ Watt. 7 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss. I know he forced at least one fumble on a quarterback run by, I was about to say Russell Wilson, by Geno Smith. And then, obviously, the story after the game has been DK Metcalf going in on Uncle Shannon with quite possibly the most ignorant thing of all time.
He kind of walked it back now.
Oh, no, he walked it back pretty quickly and was like, my bad, my apology. But here's my thing, man. Like, these new age athletes, bro, if you are striving to be the best in a sport, I could see if Shannon was like a player from the 60s or 70s and he was
before your time.
Yeah, he was either dead or he's not Jim Brown. I get that. You don't know who that is. But I mean, Shannon Sharp, like, they literally introduced him on the show as 3-time Super Bowl champion Shannon Sharp. I mean, he's made it. It's like in his profile on Twitter. Like, you click on his profile and it's like in there. Like, it's no secret who he is. I'm not saying he's the face of the NFL, but you should fucking know who Shannon Sharp is if you're...
If it's a guy who entered the Hall of Fame in the last 10 years, you should probably be at least semi-aware of who he is.
Yeah, and for him to say what he said, like Ronnie said, his uncle or his dad probably called him and was like, yo, you need to chill out. You don't know who you're talking to. That's like somebody disrespecting... I don't even know who the Shannon Sharp would be of the NBA, but again, it's some Actually, no, I'm going to ask that in the group. But again, it should be something that you should know if you're DK Metcalf. You should know. Especially you went to school in the southern a southern area. Like Shannon is pretty popular in the South as a football player. Like, I'm going to need you to know. But either way, kudos to him for walking back and apologizing, not doubling down and saying something stupid.
That's true, because a lot of people, as we know,
a lot of these younger athletes will double down and be like, he don't mean shit, and he's just hating. Like, bro, you ain't even so much as won your division, let alone have somebody hate on you. Shut up. You just got in the league, man. But, yeah, again, it's just one of those funny things. Like when Jalen Ramsey was going in on C. Smith, obviously he doubled down on it, and it was pretty funny. And I'll accept that. But DK, you don't have that kind of clout. But yeah, so for some reason we just sped through the games. It's pretty good. What are you looking forward to next week? What's your game to look forward to next week?
That's a good question. It's not the most exciting slate, but I think it's a kind of a make or break week for a lot of teams that we're gonna see. I mean, just looking at this, the Steelers, this probably is my number one game, but the Steelers are playing. Oh no, they've got a bye. Sorry, I was looking at the Steelers' schedule. They're playing the Browns on Halloween after their bye, so that'll be an interesting one. But Kansas City, Tennessee, after what Tennessee did today, that's got to be near the top because that's a big game for both teams. And I mean, if you like points, that's the game to watch next week.
Bengals. Ravens.
Yes, love that one.
That's going to be the one for me. How good is Baltimore? How good are the Bengals? They went on the road and beat the Steelers, who obviously we see are not that good. Can they go on the road and beat the Baltimore Ravens? That would be...
Yeah, if they win this, then it's time to take the Bengals seriously for sure. There's no doubt left if they win this game.
What a time to be alive. It's time to take the Bengals seriously. And I have to agree.
The afternoon games, just take a nap. Looking at these. Oh, my gosh. Don't even bother.
Thursday night game, just take a nap. Browns, Broncos is the Thursday night game. Not really sure who's going to even be available.
Yeah, that's the question for both teams, I think, in this one.
And we might get the coaches to suit up. You never know. Matter of fact, poor Broncos, they had to play that guy last year when they had all their quarterbacks go out for COVID.
That's true. At least they've had a quarterback every week this year. But that's a plus for them.
Yeah. So, again, Joe, thank you for joining me. Next week we will... Yeah. Try to make those games as entertaining as possible.
Oh, yeah.
But
it really is just kind of the two games that we mentioned. Otherwise, it's a brutal slate.
Yeah, don't disrespect my 49ers Colts game on Sunday night like that.
All right, that's somehow the third best game next week. Not a joke. That's the third best game.
Yeah. But I appreciate you for joining. And you want to plug your DFS podcast?
Yeah. Keith and I, we're breaking it down every Wednesday or Thursday. This kind of depends on my availability, but we're busting it out. I had some good plays last week. I know I was big on Joe Burrow, who came through. Keith had Jonathan Taylor, who went off. So, you know, we'll listen, and hopefully we'll win you some money.
Yeah, and I was 5-0 last week in my super contest. I jumped like 1,000 places almost. I was 13, like 96, and now I'm 400. So it's pretty good after that week. And then I went 11-0. So I will be hyping myself up to give all my money back next week because that's how the NFL works. But be on the lookout for the content. We're doing big things this season in the NFL and helping people win money. So again, IBS Eases, Joe Match, this is your NFL recap show, and we'll catch you guys next week.